And welcome into the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well this morning. Joe Rex Road still live in Indianapolis after what I'm sure was an exhilarating time yesterday at the NFL Combine. Joe, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Yeah, very sad to be leaving today. I was really, the shuttle runs this year, I feel like, are going to be amazing, but yeah, I got to go. I'm sorry.
Not all of us can be there to take that in the whole time. So wish those people good luck up there at the NFL Combine. Michelle, good morning. How are you?
I had my first mute. Morning, everyone. Happy March 1st.
It is March 1st. Wow.
I know. February always goes by so quick.
An all-hoop show coming up.
Let's go.
Yeah, very much looking forward to that today. Nothing else going on right now in the world. Joe, we got a whole lot to get into today. The NFL Combine, in all seriousness, Rand Carthon speaking yesterday, Mike Vrabel speaking yesterday, Tim Kelly speaking yesterday. So we're going to get into a lot of that throughout the show today and what the Titans had to say on some of the decisions that they've got coming up. Tennessee Vols basketball with a big win last night. Also an unfortunate injury, and we'll see what exactly comes of that. But it did not look good for Zakai Ziegler last night. So if he's out for an extended period of time, that's not good for Tennessee Vols basketball.
No, they are. Look, there's a lot of good players on the team, and there's a lot of depth all over that team, as we've seen recently. You know, James and Phillips are out. They're still okay. They got no other point guards. And really, when it comes down to it, he's the heart and soul of that team. He's the emotional leader. When they play well on offense, he is in the lane setting people up and shooting well. He is absolutely one of the best defenders in college basketball. Essentially, if that's as bad as it looks, sometimes there's a painful injury and it doesn't end up as serious, you know. And so hopefully that's the case. If it's long term, yeah, it changes everything for the Vols.
So very unfortunate.
They did play really well last night. I mean, they responded well.
Yeah, no question. But very unfortunate injury there, and we'll see what happens on the Ziegler front as they move forward here. Joe, the story of the afternoon yesterday, Mattias Ekholm traded from the Nashville Predators to the Edmonton Oilers yesterday. So this is a trade and, quite frankly, a destination that you and I have talked about a lot over the course of the past few days. And we saw the tires being kicked around a couple of days ago. And Darren Dreger was reporting, Pierre LeBrun was reporting, that conversations were taking place back and forth between the Predators and the Oilers. And yesterday, David Poile pulls the trigger, and Mattias Ekholm and a six-round pick sent to the Edmonton Oilers in exchange for Tyson Barrie. Reed Schaefer, who was a first-round pick a year ago, a first-round pick in this year's draft, and a fourth-round pick in 2024 as well. So Mattias Ekholm added to the list of Nashville Predators that is now on the move. And, Joe, that was one of the bigger moves, maybe the biggest move that we thought they could make by the time the deadline rolls around, and the Predators made it yesterday. Mattias Ekholm, who spent his entire career here in Nashville, is now on the move and is joining Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and the Edmonton Oilers.
I mean, didn't Poile just tell us like 2 hours earlier, like, don't hold your breath?
I think he did.
I tweeted something about Poile, you know, dropping the mic or something, and then someone tweeted, well, maybe this one was Trotz. Okay, that's true.
There we go.
Yeah. All the bad things that happened, Poile. All the good things that happened, Trotz. It's a big deal. It's a huge deal, and you look at the whole picture of everything, and you know, also now bringing in two veteran defensemen. I mean, I think Fabro is probably just academic at this point, right? It's a matter of when and who, right?
I would think so. I'm interested to see. I mean, you get Tyson Barrie back as a part of this deal, and we threw out a different package yesterday, Joe, that Tyson Barrie was also included in. Yep. I'm interested to see if they can flip him, because I don't know that, you know, Tyson Barrie's a good player. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know that the Predators would have some overwhelming desire to keep him around next year. So I'm interested to see whether or not they can flip him. Now, that doesn't necessarily have to happen now. You can try to do that over the summer. But to your point, like, you know, Cal Foote was back in there last night with Ekholm out. You know, Fabro played up top with Yossi last night, and they had Cal Foote in the lineup. I think it's just a matter of time at this point before Dante Fabro is moved out as well. I don't know for sure that that's going to be by Friday. I would not be surprised at all if it is by Friday. But, yes, you've got two veteran defensemen. Well, one veteran defenseman in Barry and one younger guy that you're intrigued by in Foote coming in the lineup to see what they do moving forward here.
That's an interesting question because Barry does have – certainly has some offensive game that, you know, that obviously the Preds – have had a lot of defensemen, you know, over the years who have provided some offense. They haven't, like, other than Yossi, it's kind of been, it hasn't been as balanced that way, right, in the last couple of years. So, yeah, it's an interesting question of whether they consider, because Barry has 1 year left in his deal, right?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah. Interesting, like, if they consider him possibly a long-term thing, or like you said, it's just you quickly flip him and basically Yossi and youth. Well, McDonough and youth.
Yeah.
Is McDonough going next?
I don't know. I mean, we're running out of trades, right? Like Friday has a chance to be the most boring trade deadline day of all time because they've all happened already, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure like things are going to happen on Friday, but like most of the big deals to this point have already taken place. Like Patrick Kane got traded yesterday. I mean, there's not a whole lot that's left for deadline day coming up on Friday.
That's true. Gosh. I mean, I guess it's like, well, whenever you can get the deal done, get the deal done. But I feel like, you know, like the NBA, for example, brings it right up to the deadline.
For sure. And on the Ekholm front of this, I mean, it's not surprising that he got moved. But it is like, I mean, we've been talking about Ekholm being traded for a couple of years. Now, that died down last year, obviously, after he had signed the deal and the Predators were in a better spot in the standings. But 2 years ago, you know, leading up to the Predators turning things around, Ekholm, and we talked about it a lot. And now we've talked about it over the course of the past couple of weeks here of what a package for Ekholm could look like. So I'm not surprised that he's been traded. But once they actually pulled the trigger and did it, it's like, wow, they just traded Matthias Ekholm. And he's a guy that's been around for a long time. And, I mean, you could see it on some of the videos that came out of the locker room last night, like Roman Yossi's face talking about Matthias Ekholm being traded. I mean, it's a big deal in that locker room. And he's a guy that, Joe, as you know, I mean, he's right near the top of the list in terms of the go-to spokesman for this team when things are going well and when things are going poorly. So it's a big loss inside that locker room, both on the ice and with the leadership group as well. And it just kind of shows you where David Poile thinks this team is right now when you're making big moves like that. And, oh, by the way, that's another first-round pick gain this year when the draft's in Nashville, and they have picked up 8 draft picks in the last 5 days.
Yeah, I mean, look, we talked about it yesterday. Okay, what if it was just a first and it was like, oh, man, it's really tough. I think the totality of what was offered here, I don't see how you turn it down, you know, with Ekholm, where he is in his career and then just where you are, you know? I mean, to me, it's just, I don't know, as we talked about yesterday, who knows? They could also parlay some of this stuff into all of a sudden, you know, a player who changes their trajectory instantly. But right now it looks like, you know, you'd be paying – 2 defensemen, more than $6 million AAV for multiple years with teams that aren't necessarily going to be very competitive.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think you had to do this.
Well, I mean, it's another first-round pick. It's a prospect in return that is a first-round pick from a year ago. Now, albeit, you know, it was 32nd overall a year ago, but a prospect from a year ago that's a first-round pick that is 6'3" and 215 pounds at the age of 19 that's got – over a point per game this year in the Western Hockey League. Now, there are conflicting opinions on what exactly he's going to be as they move forward. I'm talking about Reed Schaefer, who's the prospect they got back in the trade yesterday. You know, he's 19. We'll see what that ends up looking like for the Predators. But you're talking about a first-round pick, a player in Tyson Barrie that, who knows, maybe you'll be able to flip at some point and get other assets from, and then a prospect in Reed Schaefer – that, you know, we'll see what he turns into. You like the size, you like the offensive ability that he's shown to this point. We'll see what he turns into as the Predators try to continue to develop him. It's just they've flipped the picture around in terms of the assets that they bring to the table. And even if they just decide to draft all these guys and they don't use any of them to make trades, I mean, you're talking about way more kicks at the can inside the top three rounds over the next 3 years that you have to feel like give yourselves a better chance to hit on somebody that could come in and be a game-changing player for you and your franchise.
Yeah, so I appreciated Nick Kieser, you know, tweeting it all together. So the total is first round this year, first round in 25, 2 seconds in 24, a third this year, 2 fourths this year, and a fifth this year. For one thing, of course, the draft is here.
Yeah.
So the Preds in their home draft are going to be all over the thing, you know, which is fun. But I mean, but like you said, I mean, however it goes, these could be used as you. I like the term weaponized. These could be weaponized. These could be parlayed into something else. Or yeah, you there's a margin for error. You're going to have some misses. Everybody has misses. You have this many shots at it, and you just have a higher possibility of getting some really impactful players.
Well, and right now, I mean, you're talking about they've created $11 million of cap space for now for this cap hit at the deadline coming up, which, you know, it's important. You can take on some other deals and maybe some contracts if you need to moving forward here to get some return back. But also, you know, with Ekholm gone now, with Niederreiter gone now, you know, Janot a little bit less so just based on the money. But the cap space that they've got heading into next year is significant. And they're going to use some of that on restricted free agents. Carrier needs a new contract. You know, you've got some other restricted free agents that you're going to have to identify. But they've got cap space and freedom in that way moving forward as well. So, I mean, look, just personally speaking, it's tough to see Matthias Ekholm go. I mean, we've talked about how much we enjoy talking to Matthias Ekholm here. But the Predators pretty clearly felt like enough was enough, and they had to make some significant changes to their roster. And, you know, a lot of fans have been clamoring for them to do this for a long time, and this week they fully bought in on doing it. I mean, they're in complete sell mode right now. And, you know, I questioned whether or not they would do it, but now they have, and I'm looking at it right now. In the next 3 years, they have 5 first-round draft picks, they have 5 second-round draft picks, and they have 5 third-round draft picks. You're talking about 15 picks within the first 3 rounds of the next 3 drafts. That's a heck of a lot of draft capital you've got now.
Yeah. Yeah, this is what everybody wanted. And I know that there's been a lot of, well, not everybody, but I think a strong majority. And there's certainly a lot of, we've asked the question, okay, you know, are you gonna be excited to show up, you know, for the teams after this? I do think that just like last night, Luke Evangelista comes up and makes a debut. I think things like that, just the opportunity to see some of these young guys that everyone hopes will be good, at least for a while, will capture the fans' attention.
So Matthias Ekholm has been moved by the Nashville Predators, another first-round pick coming back in return, among a couple of other assets. What do you make of the move by the Predators? 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll continue that discussion coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
The last week or so, having Niederreiter to go to Winnipeg and then get Tanner picked out of a game almost to go to Tampa, you knew nobody's safe if you don't have any trade protection, and I didn't. So I knew I was ready for it to happen, but it's obviously didn't have any conversations of me wanting to go anywhere. But I'll tell you this, I'm super excited. For the last 5 years, I feel like every other year I'm in trade conversations, and there've been times where there's popped up a team on a rumor and someone's asked me about it, and I've been like, I don't know, that is that really a good fit, or don't really want to go there. But this time I feel like this team can really do damage in the playoffs, and I'm again beyond excited to join this group. I know they have a great bunch of leaders on it already, and again, just excited to get going.
That was Matias Ekholm yesterday in his introduction to the Edmonton media yesterday. Now Edmonton Oilers defenseman Matias Ekholm. Preds make the trade yesterday. Ekholm to Edmonton. Preds get back a first-rounder in this year's draft. Reed Schaefer, who was a first-round pick last year, a fourth-rounder in 2024, and also Tyson Barrie, veteran defenseman as well. So a big move made yesterday by the Predators. We're taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. John on the text line says, I'm curious, somebody was debating to me that the Rangers trades have been leaps ahead of the Preds, and I totally disagree. What's your opinion? This from John on the text line. Well, you're talking about two completely different styles of trading, right? Like the Rangers are absolutely loading up. They've got Tarasenko, they've got Kane, and they're giving up, you know, assets to go get those guys. So I mean, like, yeah, the Predators haven't acquired Vladimir Tarasenko and Patrick Kane, but it's a different problem that the Predators have had, and they're trying to fix it by future assets.
I mean, they're doing the opposite thing. So I don't know. Yeah, I think you would have to compare other sellers, right?
Right. I mean, look, there's nobody that has sold as well as the Predators have so far this trade deadline. I mean, look, the Tanner Jeannot trade by itself has been such a big eye-opener. I put this out there yesterday. Like, I'd love to go back in time 2 years and just tell people that, hey, 2 years from now, Tanner Jeannot is going to be traded and Patrick Kane is going to be traded in the same week, and Tanner Jeannot is going to blow the Patrick Kane trade totally out of the water and just see people's reaction.
Yeah, seriously. God, unbelievable. Yeah, this is like, after this week, Poyle's like, gosh, I like selling. He should have done selling a little more often, you know?
Selling things kind of fun, man.
Yeah.
Get a whole lot of draft picks back.
Everybody gets mad at me when I buy, but I sell and everybody's happy. No, it's amazing, honestly. This is kind of a counter to, you know, some fans have been so down on this situation. I've heard, you know, no one wants these crappy players, you know. It's like, well, it's not all that bad, you know. It's just a matter of finding the right situation. And obviously, it's also just really, it's a matter of just deciding to do it. But, yeah, the Jeannot thing, you said 2 years ago, 2 weeks ago. Read off that haul to me, and I'm like, yeah, okay, funny. This is what weird website did you get that from?
Right.
You know? And so, hey, you add that into now Ekholm, and it is franchise changing. Now it's about, I mean, you have a lot of options ahead of you, and it's about making the right choices.
Yeah, no question. Matt.
No pressure, Trotz.
Yeah, right. Matt on the text line says, hey, boys, I'm in Spain, so I can't call in. That's a nice flex. But I wanted to get your thoughts on what must be going through the veterans' heads in the locker room with all the trades. Fans like me are stoked, but how must it feel to be in there? This is from Matt on the text line. So, Joe, what do you think of that? If your guys like Saros or Yossi or Duchesne or whoever in there that's been around for a while, what do you think is going through their mind right now with the moves that have been made over the course of the past week for the Predators?
First of all, that is an amazing humble brag. God, I wish I could call in, but I'm in Spain.
Ah, yeah, it's good stuff, Matt.
That's just too bad. A little paella, you know. Well, look, I think most of these guys know the score. And Ekholm, yeah, it's funny listening to that sound of Ekholm because it's like you could tell there is some disappointment. Like all these years and not even a heads up other than, okay, see ya, yeah, right? I mean, but that's just how it works. But then you quickly transition to, but I'm so excited, you know, about this new opportunity. And look, he should be, just purely from a hockey perspective. I don't know about from a where you're going to live perspective, but from a hockey perspective, I mean, I'm very intrigued to see what Edmonton can do in this postseason. I think this postseason in the West a lot of things could happen, although Colorado starting to look like Colorado. But
well, he's a perfect fit for them. Perfect.
Yeah, it's exactly what they've needed, like, for years, you know. So he should be excited. But I think, to answer the question, I mean, I think these guys know the score. They know what the deal is. It doesn't mean it's, like, just easy if it, like, you go through it. Or like you said, you saw Yossi. You could tell with his reaction, losing Ekholm, that's tough. But some of these guys, I mean, Forsberg has already been, you know, openly bitter about losing Arvidsson, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this core that they you know, the famous, we're going to run it back with these guys after the 2018 loss to Winnipeg. You know, you're down to, you're down to Josi, Saros, and Forsberg and Sissons, right?
Yeah. I mean, it has been.
And Johansson.
Johansson too. Yes. But it's been disassembled, like right before their very eyes. And look, quite frankly, I understand it's different, right? Like you're a player, you know, they understand the score, yes, but these are still, you know, their teammates and their friends that you're talking about here. I'm sure they're not happy about this. But it's also like, I mean, you guys have had how many chances to go out there and do it, and you hadn't done it. Like at some point, management is going to react. And, you know, quite frankly, management probably should have reacted long before this, but now they've decided to do it. And I don't think there's anybody in there that, if they're being honest with themselves, should be overly surprised by this. Like, this has been, you had your chance this year, and you weren't able to take advantage of it. And now this is the consequence of it.
Exactly. 2 years ago, there was the same mindset that they've had to have in the last couple of weeks. They had it. Ekholm had it, right? And yep. They were able to pump the brakes on it. They really did. Like, they made it, they changed it, you know, on the ice. And, last year you had such a great start with low expectations. You know, it was a different deal. Of course, last year was all about Forsberg. It was all about, what's the deal with him? Do you need to trade him by the deadline? But yeah, this year expectations were actually high. And, so I don't think anyone in there is all that surprised.
We got a lot of questions on the text line about the draft capital that the Predators have accumulated and whether or not they could package those things together to try and go get the number one overall pick. And I understand the question. I really do. Because they've accumulated a lot of draft capital. And I think in a normal year, like a regular draft year, they've got more than enough to go try to get the number one pick. I think they do. But not this year. Like, I just don't think.
Zero chance.
With Connor Bedard being the number one pick, whoever ends up winning the draft lottery, like, they're not trading out of that. I mean, it's a potential franchise-altering player. And sometimes you can have all the assets and the draft capital in the world to arm yourself with, and it takes a willing partner. And I'm just here to tell you, whoever wins that number one overall pick, and look, maybe it's the Predators. They're going to have, a shot at it, a very limited shot at it, but I think they're going to have a shot at it. But if it's not them, whoever ends up at number one, they're not trading out of there. They're drafting Connor Bedard.
Yeah. It's good to have assets, to have a lot of good players. Everybody in this league knows if you can get one of those guys, changes everything.
Yeah, he's priceless.
Everything else is easier, if you have one of those. Now, sometimes one of those guys doesn't turn out to actually be one of those guys, but people are pretty certain on Bedard.
Greg on the text line says, can you explain the 4% salary retention with Ekholm? How long are we retaining it? It'll be through the duration of his contract, but you're talking, I believe the number is $250,000 per year. So that's the salary retention.
To quickly explain it to you, here's a great example of like how tight things are in the NHL.
Yes.
Like you're nitpicking, like, hey, can you keep that lint in your pocket? It's they need that cap to go up.
Oh, they do. But, when I saw one tweet yesterday, just said salary retention. I was like, oh boy, like, what are they retaining? And then it said 4%. I was like, oh, okay. They'll be fine. 4%.
So weird.
I don't know that I've ever seen a 4% salary retention in a trade before.
Yeah, it's like 4% sales tax. It's very weird.
Keith from Bowling Green on the text line says, they may have lost last night, but they were fun to watch. They have a lot more energy. They did play a game last night. They lost to the Pittsburgh Penguins 3-1. It was nothing after two periods. They took the lead. Mark Jankowski scored, and then Pittsburgh rolled off three. Nice breakaway goal from Sidney Crosby last night, and the Predators fell 3-1. But Luke Evangelista making his NHL debut yesterday. You know, had some younger guys moving up in the lineup. You know, I mentioned the defense pairing. Fabro moved up with Josi. You had Cal Foote making his Preds debut yesterday. I did see a lot of people very excited about seeing some of the younger guys, particularly Evangelista coming up. And I will say this. I like Luke Evangelista. I've talked about him for a long time. I think he's got a chance to be a good player. And I was impressed by what I saw last night. I don't know that he's completely ready to be a full-time NHL player, but he popped Evgeny Malkin pretty good last night. So that was interesting.
He did. That's a nice little welcome hello to Nashville. You know, put Malkin on his butt, and people are going to like you a lot real fast.
No question about it. So we're going to get into the Preds throughout the show today. We will revisit the Matthias Ekholm trade. We'll kind of get your state of the union on what you've made of the Preds and the moves that they've made this week and the trajectory and how much this franchise has changed just within a matter of a few days. We're going to get you your thoughts on that throughout the show today on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, we're going to switch gears. We're going to get into the NFL Combine. Joe Rexroad was there yesterday with Rand Carthon, Mike Vrabel, and Tim Kelly speaking for the Titans. We'll get into all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. Live from the 102.5 The Game studio, sponsored by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Joe Rexroad live in Indianapolis, fresh off a Titans Day yesterday at the NFL Combine. Rand Carthon addressing the media, Mike Vrabel addressing the media, and new offensive coordinator Tim Kelly addressing the media as well. Joe, some of your takeaways yesterday from the media sessions with the Titans brass. I know a lot of different conversations yesterday, including some conversations about Ryan Tannehill. What did you take away from Rand Carthon, Mike Vrabel, and Tim Kelly's comments yesterday? First meet of the day for Rexroad.
Unbelievable. I keep it in the 6 o'clock hour at least. Definitely the Tannehill, and I think this is the first time that I was able to annoy Rand Carthon, so pretty early. Congratulations to me.
Way to go.
My back. Yeah, it's one of the, as you know, I tweeted out the video, but kind of those vague answers about Tannehill, which again I understand. Like that's pretty much what is going to happen, right? Is that you're going to get you know, vague answers about things like that where you don't know for sure. And we all know it's like they can't definitively tell us what they're going to do on certain things, but you ask the questions. Look, it's possible that you resolve. So I asked Carl kind of a follow-up, said, so is he your quarterback next year? And, you know, he's like, if I can speak freely, you know, basically he's under contract. He's a Titan and he's going to be a Titan. Now, of course, you could also just go from there and then finish it and say, until he's not, you know. I mean, I didn't come away with anything from yesterday telling me absolutely there's no other outcome other than Tannehill as the starter. But I'm probably in the same spot I've been, which is 86%.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't expect the Titans to really go down too far of a rabbit hole one way or the other yesterday when it comes to the quarterback position. You know, a lot of people have really latched on to what you just talked about of he's under contract, he's a Titan, and he will be a Titan. Like, the will be a Titan part of it people have run wild with, and now Ryan Tannehill is definitely the starting quarterback next year for the Titans, no question about it. I mean, look, I still think he will be. I think he'll be the quarterback next year. I think it's the most likely option by far. But I do think, and Vrabel talked about this, you know, they're going to have open minds about, you know, he talked about every position. You're always looking for competition. You're always looking for people to come in, all those things that we've heard Mike Vrabel say before. But right now, I mean, I think if you're the Titans, you've got to evaluate the quarterback position in the draft. I think if options present themselves to you, whether that's via trade or in free agency, you've got to at least consider them if you're the Titans. But at the end of the day, I think the most likely scenario has always been that Ryan Tannehill is going to be back and is going to be your starting quarterback. And there was nothing that was said yesterday that makes me think any differently about that. And, you know, right now, I mean, I'm operating under the assumption that Ryan Tannehill is the quarterback until proven otherwise. And I think that's probably the assumption the Titans have to operate under as well and figure out how do you put together an offense around him that gives him a chance to go out there and play his best football, because he never had that chance a year ago.
Right. So I asked Vrabel a little bit different way, which was, is your mindset purely like this offseason is about building around Tannehill, or is it possible you could get blown away by, you know, by a quarterback here or, you know, here slash whatever, you know, in the draft, meaning, you know, since everyone's in Indy. And Vrabel was much more, I'm open to everything. And he said, you know, next year it could be Tannehill, Malik Willis, Josh Dobbs, you know. So he was much more just basically like, I'm not committing to anything. So, yeah. I just look for me, and I know we'll talk more about this later, but like, I'm even though I'm still pretty confident, very confident, I guess, that Ryan Tannehill is going to be the quarterback. As time goes on, I get less and less bullish about that working for the Titans, you know, working the way you want it to work. It's, you know, one couple of the questions that were asked, you know, to Rand Carthon and to Mike Vrabel in different ways was, can you fix this offensive line in one offseason?
Right.
You know, like, and you know, Vrabel's answer was, well, that's our job, you know. And Rand Carthon said, yeah, it is possible. But think of, you know, you think about how difficult that's going to be. And that's part of the, that's part of why I kind of just continue to drift toward, man, you really need to think about the future at quarterback. If you possibly can't, even though it's almost certain to hurt this team, even if you were to keep Tannehill, this is a possibility. Certain to hurt this team because you can't do as much elsewhere, but I had my real doubts. You're at an event like this and you see all the other GMs and coaches and you're kind of reminded of, especially on the AFC side, who is quarterbacking these teams, and just how basically right now the Colts or Texas, one of them is gonna have, you know, well, actually both of them are gonna have these young quarterbacks. So you could be left behind here, but I think that's probably what they're gonna do. They're gonna proceed as if this is the window. The window's open, and so they have to try to blow through it. It's going to be fascinating to see all that they try to do to try to fix this stuff. There's a lot needed.
There's a lot needed to fix it, and to your point, I mean, there's a lot of work in front of Rand Carthon and Vrabel in order to repair this roster with the offensive line coming up, and that, to me, is the question, and I get it. It is their job to fix it, but, like, it's a heck of a challenge to fix the holes that you've got to fix if Ryan Tannehill is going to be your quarterback and if you truly believe that you can win this next season. So that's a heck of a bar that the Titans have to set for themselves if they're coming back with Ryan Tannehill as their quarterback. So I wasn't overly surprised with anything they said yesterday. Now, Tim Kelly spoke yesterday as well, too. Obviously, new offensive coordinator for the Tennessee Titans. And a lot was made of the comments that he talked about with the scheme and how different is the offense going to look. And, you know, of course, one of his answers was, well, I mean, we'll have to see what the players look like and we'll see what the offense looks like after that. But what were your impressions from Tim Kelly yesterday as it relates to the offense and what that could look like moving forward for the Titans?
Well, one impression was, because I had never talked to Tim Kelly, you can certainly tell he's Dennis Kelly's brother.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Like Dennis Kelly's short-haired brother. A little bit, you have to adjust to the quiet talking, a little bit of a quiet talk. But, yeah, a lot of interesting stuff. And, you know, real quick before getting to Kelly, you know, one thing to make a point on the offensive line. I asked Carthon about Luan, but Vrabel brought it up on his own. And I mean, I have to come away from yesterday thinking they are – I don't think they were just being polite, but both of them said, like, we're going to see when Taylor's healthy. And then, you know, once that happens, then you see if he actually wants to play.
Right.
But I would say, and I think it's smart, I would say do not close the door on the possibility of Luan. And again, I mean, without knowing what the terms might be, I think that's absolutely worth exploring. But, yeah, Kelly, you know, and of course, this, I haven't seen Kaharsky. We got Kaharsky later. I haven't seen if Kaharsky has a big headline. Like, Tim Kelly says Titans weren't predictable last year. Yeah, because and it gets classic like Kaharsky. But, well, what do you mean you were predictable? Then it's like, dude, he's not gonna rip like his predecessor, you know, his predecessor's offense. Is he wrong? Yes. And Kaharsky brought up a good point. Like Vrabel has actually said himself, like the Titans were too predictable, right? Yeah. Like he said that. So fine, but you can't expect Tim Kelly to like go back to last year and, you know, rip what Downing did. I mean, look, Kelly kind of danced around it. I think he's also careful. He doesn't want to sit here, because I asked him about the offensive line problems last year and all that stuff. But, you know, I think he also doesn't want to like do too much, like unlike Vrabel, do too much basically just saying it was all the players, you know?
Right.
But some points he made for sure. One is that, you know, I think change is absolutely being thoroughly explored here in terms of, you know, just how they want the scheme to look. You know, like I asked, is outside zone still going to be foundational? You know, and he said basically yes. I mean, of course, there's going to be things that have worked, that can work, that you're going to do with this personnel. But I get the sense that they are going through everything in an attempt to make this a better offense.
We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Get to more of Joe's takeaways from the Titans. Media availabilities at NFL Combine yesterday. Take your thoughts on the Titans as well. 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
How tough is that to possibly have to fill that many positions in that position in one offseason?
That's our job. It's figuring out where we're at with the roster, taking a look at the salary cap, what we think is what we want to do with the cap, and going and finding players and having collaboration between the coaches and personnel, me, Rand, Chad, Ryan, anybody that can help. And that's been the one thing that I've been most proud of is, you know, that everybody, at least from the coaching staff, I sit in there and listen, and they talk and they ask them questions about the player, and the coaches talk, and whether I agree with them or disagree with them, you know, they're being heard. And then, you know, ultimately Rand and I have to make a great decision.
That was Mike Vrabel yesterday at the NFL Combine, offering his thoughts on the challenge in front of the Titans of fixing this roster, and particularly the offensive side of the football. Fantastic Capital J journalism question by Joe Rexroad there in Indianapolis yesterday. And, of course, the word collaboration tossed out there again. Yes, very hard-hitting journalism yesterday. I feel like by the time training camp rolls around, like, collaboration is just going to be like, we're going to be like, all right, can we never say that word ever again?
I think Vrabel, he kind of smiled a little bit when he said collaboration.
I'm sure he did.
He knows that we're making fun of it. So, but yeah, actually John Burton with Rand and Vrabel, I got to give John Burton a little love. He started both press, Vrabel just talked to us off to the side. He started both with, okay, if there's a tie, who breaks the tie?
Yeah, I saw that.
Another attempt by JB. Like,
let's get down to brass tacks here, Rand and Mike.
Yeah. And, of course, no answer as usual. Yeah. Rand had a pretty good answer. It was kind of like, well, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. Arm wrestle.
Yes, please do. Chuck on the text line says, careful, Joe. You're starting to sound like the rest of us fans who want a complete blow up that includes getting rid of the quarterback and using that money to build a line for a future quarterback. This is from Chuck on the text line.
Well, in our next segment, my hot taking is continuing.
Yes, it is.
What is Chris says, Joe, if you ask Inspector Jared, the answers weren't vague at all. Did Jared go 4 hours on what was said? It seemed like it. So is that to suggest that Jared is saying they absolutely said it will be Tannehill?
I have to say, I did not catch much of Jared yesterday. I had some other things that was happening, but I don't know. I don't know what Jared said yesterday.
Yeah, let me know, Chris, what you mean. I missed it too. That would be surprising me. Usually Jared goes with the, you know, even if they do say something definitive, like he's got a conspiracy somewhere. So I don't think that they've boxed themselves in here to where it would be impossible for something to happen. I think that they're looking at it like Tannehill's going to be the quarterback and they got to fix the team. I think they should think long and hard. And look, Carthon's answer on QBs was basically like every year you've got to evaluate.
Right.
I don't think this is an every year kind of QB situation for the Titans, in my opinion.
Well, and we'll get into that a little bit deeper coming up here in just a few minutes. But you said something last segment that's interesting to me in terms of, you know, hearing Tim Kelly speak yesterday, and, you know, he wasn't going to go too deep down the rabbit hole of how different the offense could be. But you believe the Titans are at least leaving the door open to considering making some significant changes to the offense based on, you know, what we've seen out of this group the last couple of years. I mean, obviously you've got a new offensive coordinator, so you've got a new play caller, all those things that naturally are going to be different about the Titans offense. But I guess, how much do you think they're considering whether it's different formations, whether it's different styles of play calling, you know, passing more on first down? Like, how much different do you think this thing could be when everything is said and done, obviously not having known what the personnel situation is going to look like?
Yeah, well, and that's what it is. But one thing that he talked about for sure was, you know, trying to get – look, it's matchups in this league. It's taking advantage of your best players in this league. So trying to get – he mentioned Chig in particular and Traylon Burks. Those guys have got to get the ball. You got to be creative, get them the ball. Again, it's hard to answer definitively on things. One, because they are going through – and Vrabel kind of went into detail on this a little bit about – they're going through play sheets and they're trying to, you know, build a playbook right now.
Yep.
Kelly, I asked Kelly about, you know, just the jargon, you know, just the calls and everything. And I think he would probably basically mentioning those guys again, he talked about as much continuity as possible. Some things are going to change, you know, with him as OC. He's been an OC, so this is a different offense, you know, than he was in Houston. So, but I think the changes are going to be as minimal as possible there. But, yeah, look, I was impressed talking to Tim Kelly, and he was careful to be, you know, I think vague about a lot of things, but definitely I came away with they are taking this thing and they are analyzing everything, they're self-scouting, and then they're going to try to just come up with some different things that could possibly work. You know, we still expect Derrick Henry to, you know, to be a focal point of this offense at this point. And some of the answer, of course, you can plan it all out. You can change your playbook. You can, and of course add players. And so that's going to change things. Vrabel again talked about speed. I mean,
yep.
You know, speed is definitely something that one way or the other, they are going to find a player or two, I think, on that offense who can run. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But and it still also comes down so much to just Kelly on Sundays and how he is at just how his feel for the game is. In the games that I've paid attention to, and I think in particular about that 21 game at Houston where, like, the Titans couldn't stop them. You know? I think there's been some good examples of him being able to adjust on the fly. And Vrabel brought that up when he hired Tim Kelly. But, you know, so much of this is going to be, well, first, can you block? Can you get open? Can you catch? And then also, does he have a better feel than Todd Downing on a game day? And because that's one thing that we can all agree was lacking. He may not say that. They may not say that in the building, but there's no doubt. Todd Downing just didn't have the same feel. You could see a huge drop-off, pretty significant drop-off from Arthur Smith to Todd Downing.
Well, I don't think there's any question about that. Chris, on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, to sum it up, Jared basically concluded that the GM messed up and shouldn't have said what he said because it wasn't consistent with what Vrabel said. I guess referring to the comments of Ryan Tannehill will be with the Titans yesterday. So there you go.
Oh, okay. Okay, so that they disagree
about Tannehill.
Yes.
oh, man. You know what? I got to hand it to Jared. He can just take four words and somehow turn them into, like, you know, like World War III. It's just incredible, man.
Yeah, that is a good one.
Joe's very tickled by this. He thinks this is very good.
I mean, yeah, that's not what Rand said did not box them in. If they move on from Ryan Tannehill, then all you have to say is, well, he was under contract, like I said, and now we've gone in a different direction. Next. Now look, again, I think he will be. I mean, I think that's probably the way they're going to go. I don't know that they're even going to consider my plan to save this franchise, but yeah, I don't think that this was some, I don't think after it all, Ray was like, Rand, how could you do that?
We'll get into Joe Rexroad's plan to save the franchise coming up next. Take your thoughts on the Titans as well. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.